Well, the first storefront magic mushroom dispensary has opened in Toronto, something the store's manager describes as a medical protest against Canadian laws. Now, selling psilocybin, the active ingredient in magic mushrooms, selling that is illegal in this country. But businesses selling mushrooms have been sprouting up in cities like Ottawa and Vancouver. So for more on this, we've reached Paul Lewin, a cannabis and psychedelics lawyer in Toronto. He and a group of lawyers are currently representing eight plaintiffs in a case against the Canadian government over psilocybin access. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. So why do you think we're seeing many or seeing actually any mushroom dispensaries opening up right now, considering it's an illegal substance?
Well, I think it's to be expected. It's a natural product of the government's problematic access to legal medical psilocybin.
Give me more of your thoughts on the government's problem with this. What's going on there? What's the issue?
Well, there's three legal means of accessing medical psilocybin, and all of them are deeply flawed. There's, just very briefly, there's a Section 56 exemption, which provides no access. That's 56 under the CDSA. There's a SAP authorization under the Food and Drug Regulations. That is very burdensome on doctors. Doctors have to do an awful lot, including assume liability for the entire process, including the psilocybin. The SAP and the Section 56 require the minister to approve access for the patient. Hmm. It should be doctor's gatekeeper. The doctor knows the patient's situation best. The doctor has the responsibility, has the best interests of the patient at heart. The minister is not obliged to consider the best interests of the patient. It's a terrible system, and it's very hard to access it. And finally, you can get it to a clinical trial, which is really unethical, and it's not suitable, and you could get a placebo and go through all the weight and just get a placebo.
So it sounds like there are many hoops to jump through, and you're saying that some of the gatekeepers are not the right gatekeepers around psilocybin. So I mean, the manager of Shroomie's Dispensary, the store that's opened in Toronto, spoke with CBC News under the condition of anonymity. He describes this as a medical protest against Canadian laws. So it seems like, I'm assuming what you're talking about there is what is being protested.
Yes, absolutely.
Is the aim here for legalization sort of in the same way that things happened for cannabis?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of similarities between the two. One difference between the two is all the cannabis, really, that's all started 25 years ago, and we've learned a lot about the drug war and its failure since then. So we really know better now about prohibition and its failures.
And given that, how should things be working at this point in time?
Well, the government should make access easier, and the default position shouldn't be criminal prohibitions for medical patients.
So who then does have access to psilocybin right now? For treatment?
Well, a very small number of people who can go through the various hurdles that the government's put in the way of medical access.
Can you give me an example of someone who would fit that bill right now?
Probably if you have, there's a small number of people who, if you had cancer and you were dying and you had untreatable depression or anxiety, and if you got a Section 56, it wouldn't do you any good because there's no access. So there's nowhere you can get it. You don't have the right to grow it. They'll never give you the right to grow it, and no one has the authority to give it to you. So a Section 56 will fail you. There are a handful of people who've got SAPs.
It was an SAP
program. That special access program,
okay.
Authorization under the Food and Drug Regulations. Mm-hmm. And so they would have gotten it. So that it would probably be somebody who has, who's dying of cancer and they have untreatable depression or anxiety. But many of those people suffer problems with access. So, but you asked who might have it, and it would be someone like that.
Okay, and as you described, it's a very small group of people. My understanding is that Well, we got an email to CBC News from Health Canada writing that it has granted exemptions to 81 patients for psilocybin treatment since August 2020. In 2022, only 5 exemptions have been granted. 16 applications are currently under review. Now, this is for medical purposes. And what form do these products come in for medical purposes? Because this is about their treatment, right?
Yeah, so it comes in, so it's synthetic psilocybin. It's not natural psilocybin mushrooms. The Section 56 authorizes natural psilocybin mushrooms, but as I said, you can't get it anywhere. And they encourage, I think they're encouraging patients to go out and pick it but that's not safe because there's poisonous mushrooms that look just like psilocybin mushrooms. So they've got, and under the SAP authorizations, it would have to be synthetic for many patients who, that's not an ideal fit. Natural are a better fit, but you're obliged to take the synthetic.
So people are, very few people, as you mentioned, are accessing psilocybin for medical purposes. But I wonder, you kind of touched into an area there where safety seems like a major concern here, not just the as you were pointing out, the recommendation or suggesting to some that they could pick their own mushrooms, but just around regulation and what you're getting when you do buy a product if it is for medical purposes.
Well, I would rather, if the system is going to err, I'd rather err on the side of inclusion where medical patients can get access, albeit maybe not in an ideal system, but I'd rather err on the side of inclusion than have medical patients left behind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just say briefly that how the problem that many people seek, it's for untreatable depression and anxiety, which is a huge problem in society for many people that leads to suicide. There's many other health issues that come with this. So I'd rather err on the side of inclusion.
Now, earlier you'd mentioned that the hope is that this may move in the same direction, this with the same process that cannabis did. Is there a space for recreational use legally, in your opinion, in the future when it comes to psilocybin?
I would like to think so. Psilocybin does all kinds of terrific things, non-medical things that are really good for humans. It can bring greater mindfulness, compassion, creativity. The list goes on and on. I would hope that that's where it heads.
Has public opinion changed so much about psilocybin over the years? Because for a long time, this was thought as for people hallucinate on it, and that takes their whole day. It was a certain kind of stereotype attached to it. Has that opinion changed in the public?
I think it is changing. I think in the last couple of years in particular, I think the knowledge around this has been out there for a long time. They've been actually studied for much longer than we realize. But yeah, I 100% agree that I think the last couple of years has been a huge change around psychedelics generally.
I've got 20 seconds, but do you expect to see police raids of any of these places and shutdowns in the meanwhile? That's the process the cannabis went through.
I think the police know better. Police in Toronto have much higher priorities. There's real crime out there that they keep them plenty busy.
Paul, really great to speak with you this morning. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Paul Lewin is cannabis and psychedelics lawyer in Toronto. As mentioned, an email to CBC News, Health Canada wrote that it has granted exemptions to 81 patients for psilocybin treatments since 2020 August and 19 to healthcare specialists for training purposes. These exemptions are valid for 1 year period in 2022. Only 5 exemptions have been granted. 16 applications are currently under review.